Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Man, I am nervous, Dan. I never get this nervous with guests. I've interviewed a lot of people. Bobby Knight,
yeah,
icon, legend. I've never got to sit down with Michael Jordan. I've never got to sit down with Babe Ruth.
Well, but that's today, because he died like 60 years before you were born.
True, but I could exhume his body and have a full conversation with him if need be, is what I'm saying. Today, we sit down with arguably the greatest hero in all of sports. Currently today, Joey Chestnut is here. How are you? Welcome to Drinking Bros.
Doing good. Great to be on with you guys. Yeah. Happy we're able to make it work out. Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding me? Look, you don't know this. This is dead serious. In my household, we watch you every 4th of July. We are an all Chestnut household all day, all night. My kid screams out Chestnut, and then we actually go live every 4th of July and do a reaction show as you guys are live in the hot dog eating contest.
That's awesome. I love hearing it, and it's like weird, and it's part of like the encouragement and support of helping me like stay motivated.
Well, look, for me personally, Kobe Bryant was my favorite athlete. I'm wearing a Kobe Bryant shirt today. When he passed away, you took the torch and ran with it. A lot of people say LeBron is great or he's the greatest in the world right now. It's Joey Chestnut. And if you're telling yourself otherwise, you're kidding yourself.
Well, a lot of people say that Michael Jordan is the Joey Chestnut of basketball.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, you've heard that, right?
I've heard that. It has, you guys know I'm just a normal dude. I went to school, got an engineering degree, and while I was in school, I started doing these contests, and I got lucky. And so, that's all. I got lucky. I found something that, like, my body was literally made for. And
I'm not gonna lie. Before we were working out some audio issues right before the show started, and it looked like you were stretching your face and mouth out a little bit. Is that part of your routine?
Oh, man, yeah, my jaws. I've been working at my jaws like crazy right now. So. They get tight.
You don't use those things like that rubber ball thing that you bite on? Do you use that shit?
Yeah, I have a couple different things. I have the Jawsercise.
Yeah, Jawsercise, like, yeah.
And then I have another thing where it's these molds, and it's like a rope hanging out, and I attach a huge water bottle to it.
You're kidding.
I feel like if you walked around in public as a normal person doing that, everybody would call the cops, but if it's that's Joey. It's Joey. Yeah. He's working out his jaws.
I can walk around with the rubber ball and nobody knows it because I have the face mask in.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Oh, that's right. COVID. Thanks, like, China.
I'm kind of drooling a little bit.
So when we were texting back and forth, one of our sponsors here is mybookie.com that sponsors our show. Promo code Drinking Bros will get you 150% of your deposit back. I texted you my betting slip. I've gone all in. The max bet on you is $100 for Saturday's competition. The over under is 71.5 dogs. I'll repeat 71.
That's a good one. I've seen other people with the over and under at 72.5.
Yep.
The truth is, this is going to be a weird contest. There's going to be no crowd pushing me, and it's just going to be like, I think four eaters now. It was going to be six, and two of the eaters just had to pull out because of New York City's quarantine rules.
Man.
And, So it's going to be a very limited field, but it's all the top eaters are still there, and it's going to be more cameras in the room than eaters and audience. So my biggest worry is like some of the cameramen or the reporters in there are going to make weird noises like gasps or like have these shocking sounds that usually I'm just hearing cheering and yelling, and if I'm a little bit worried about the quietness, and I'm hoping the whole thing's gonna be weird. I know I can break 72, 75. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of just finding my rhythm.
One would argue that because there's only four people in a room, you're not outside. You don't have the heat beating down on you the entire day. The dogs will be fresher and the buns will be fresher. Won't that allow you to push down and beat that record and go for the 75?
There are definitely some variables that could be favorable to eating more hot dogs. They're making less hot dogs because there's less eaters. Mm. So every one of them should be absolutely done. Perfect, cooked perfectly. No undercooked dogs that are going to be rubbery. I'm not going to be sweating like an absolute madman. I'm a little bit worried about being too cold. If it's cold, then it's hard to get amped up. If it's also cold, then the hot dogs will cool down more and end up being a little bit rubbery. Nobody wants to eat cold hot dogs. And then the quiet room. It's unnatural to eat in a quiet room. Usually, if I'm practicing, it's loud music playing and somebody yelling at me. And 4th of July, I'm used to having the audience push me. So, I'm not going in there thinking it's going to be easy. There is a chance the scenario is going to be perfect for a world record, mm-hmm. but I just need to, no matter what, I need to go out there hungry and just try to find that rhythm, a rhythm where I'm just moving the food down.
Yeah, and literally hungry on this one. But I don't know if you've watched the UFC, because the UFC is back, and a lot of the fighters say they can hear the announcers. The guy you're talking about, George O'Shea, is hilarious.
George O'Shea, yeah, he's. I feel like you should, if you, how many of these have you won now?
12, right?
Yeah, I've won 12, and George is amazing. The things that come out of his mouth, sometimes they're funny, mm. and they're a little bit lighthearted. But usually, it's like he tries to build people up, and he makes me believe that all right, I could eat a tank if it was driving in front of me right now. I could do whatever I need to do, and even when I feel like I'm slowing down, he's telling me I can dig deeper. So. I'm really hoping he brings out his A game and pushes me. I know it's going to be different. There's no audience. It's going to be different, not just for eaters, but for the people watching at home. It's going to look different. Usually they can pan out the camera out and you can see 20 eaters and an audience. This one, there's going to be four, maybe six eaters. So it's going to be a lot more close-ups. It's not going to be as pretty. Not that I'm ever pretty, but people are going to see how hard I'm working, I think. Maybe
there's
a little bit more.
Yeah, there's not much of an aesthetic to a hot dog eating contest. Really.
No.
Although I feel
no.
like George Shea's hat is the thing that brings everything together. After 12 wins, you should probably get his hat, I feel like.
Yeah, that Carnival Barker.
Yeah,
hat, right?
You got to, like, he should have surrendered that to you years ago.
Oh, he can keep that. I think it's sweat.
Well, hopefully he's not wearing the same one every year, right?
No, he's what is that?
Superstitious.
Superstitious, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He had to get it repaired, I think.
Like, how do you even clean one of those? That's a question.
No, you got to use a power washer, I believe, on something like that. I want to go over some of your records, because a lot of people just know you as a hot dog eating champion, when actually you're much more. So hot dogs. Exactly. Goddamn right, that's what she said. Hot dogs. The record is 73 and a half. You own that record. Apple pie. You own the record of eating 4.375 3-pound pieces, which is insane to
me. Yeah, or pie. It ended up being like 13 pounds. I don't know why they have that weird number in there.
It's the equivalent to eating 44 Big Macs, Dan, is what it is.
6 pounds of funnel cake in 10 minutes.
6 pounds of funnel cake in 10 minutes. Deep fried asparagus. You own the record at eating 12 pounds, 9 ounces worth of deep-fried asparagus.
It was topped with Parmesan cheese, and then it was amazing. And then I snuck at the bathroom. That was when I was still working in construction. And,
I'm sure everybody was a big fan of you.
In the office, I knew I was like, oh, my God, Joey's an animal.
Burritos, you own the record. 14.5 pounds eaten in 10 minutes.
Yeah, that was green chili burritos in New Mexico. And those were
141 hard-boiled eggs in 8 minutes.
141 hard-boiled eggs in 8 minutes. What does your toilet look like the next day after one of these competitions?
Well, things come out in rounds. It's not like everything's going to come out. That would be too graphic, but it's the funniest when there's like a really beautiful reporter and she asks me what happens afterwards. Going into every contest, I fast for about 2 days, almost no solid food. So I'm absolutely empty. And so I'm my body's craving some nutrition, a good amount of nutrition, but it's also going to go through me quick. And so it's going to come in rounds.
Are you rocking a bidet at home or whatever? I feel like as many shits as you take after a competition like that, if you were wiping casual style, you would rub your butthole completely off your body.
You got to go bidet.
Everybody should have a bio bidet. It's the way to go.
Same.
It's just efficient.
It is. I walk around feeling like my asshole just had a shower all day.
Yeah, Dan loves it.
Sometimes even without taking a shit, I'll just go in there and have fun.
Yeah, just have a nice little splash. Yeah.
Sometimes like, it pushes so hard, it's almost like, it's like, whoa.
You should go to Lama's classes probably at some point, right?
It's a position I'm in probably a little bit more than most people.
Yeah, it is. I want to keep going through these records here. Chicken wings, you own that record. 182 wings in 30 minutes. That is the equivalent to 7 pounds of cheddar cheese eaten. Where was that? Were the wings hot?
I don't actually. I've broken that record a couple times in Buffalo. I think I did 220 something wings. And Buffalo wings, they actually do a really good job. They have a festival, and Buffalo is a great city to party in. So they take their wings serious, and it's I think those ones they're usually medium. They're kind of spicy, but even medium at the end of a 12-minute contest, it adds up.
God damn.
Now this, I've been in one actually.
One what?
I've been in a wing eating contest before. The winner got Tyler Anderson was his name. He was on my football team. He ate 124, and I thought that was a lot. You almost doubled him at this point. I had 74 in that competition.
There's no way I would eat that much.
Yeah. Not bad, right? 74? I was in high school.
I'm more impressed with the 25 and a half ice cream sandwiches in 6 minutes.
Yeah, that one, it was on paper. I mean, it looks impressive, but it was really painful.
Yeah, pain, it was like, man.
Because it's cold.
It was the ice cream. I was just thinking about it. It like perked my chest a little bit. And I was squeezing the sandwiches so hard that I ended up having frostbite on my hand. Like, I had blisters from the ice.
Jesus Christ. Fucking Joey Chestnut's got
dedication.
PTSD.
That's what a fucking warrior does.
You know,
dude,
if you've got PTSD from ice cream sandwiches, you've lived a good life.
Yeah, you have.
I mean, I got my priorities straight.
Donuts. You own the donut record. 55 glazed donuts in 10 minutes.
Yeah, there were these big ones in L.A. I forget what they're big bastard donuts.
Oh, were you at Randy's with the huge?
Yeah, Randy's donut.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been to Randy's numerous times. Whenever you fly into L.A., it's right next to the airport.
Yeah, everybody thinks, a glazed donut. They think like a Krispy Kreme or something or a Dunkin' Donut. These were monsters. So they're like, you only did 40 something of those? I was like, dude, they were huge.
Yeah, they were huge. Now this next one is I think the most impressive one to me, Dan. Mm-hmm. This is gumbo eaten. You ate 1.875 gallons of gumbo.
No, so close to 2 gallons. it was like it was this weird LSU tailgate party, and it was like way down in like way past like farther south than New Orleans. We were down in like bayou country where people were mumbling. It was like,
like they sound like Coach Orgeron.
Yeah, they sound like Coach Orgeron. Yeah,
boom.
And it was a good time, and everybody was super happy and nice. And it was a crazy, crazy experience.
Hamburgers, 103 Crystal Burgers. I've actually attempted this as well. I was able to eat 22. That was all. I topped out at 22 Crystal Burgers.
Was that 22 in 8 minutes?
It was about 10. Yeah. So I thought it was decent, but again, it was a college thing.
Yeah, it's Crystal Burgers. Once you get the rhythm, you can just, they fly down, and once your body knows how to metabolize them, that one's trouble. That one, if I lived close to a Crystal Burgers or even White Castle, it would I'd probably gain 30 pounds
easily. I love those goddamn things. The next one's a weird one: shrimp wontons. The record that you own is 390 wontons. What was the significance of that? Why did somebody want to have an eat off with shrimp wontons?
You there?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Three. So I was in Bangkok, Thailand, eating the shrimp wonton, and they're little shrimp, but they go down easy. It took me a little while to find a rhythm, but that was an insane contest, and I felt like garbage afterwards, but it just goes with the job.
What does one get for winning the shrimp wonton contest? Like, how much money do you get for something like that?
That one, it was this Chinese company at CP Foods, mm-hmm. And they're big throughout all Asia. So I think that one, it ended up converting like $12,000. It was a good prize,
and
I was going against the top eaters in the world. My last time going against Kobayashi, that company was a sponsor. I was eating the shrimp wonton in Singapore, and I beat Kobayashi there.
Wow. We'll get to Kobayashi after we get to these records, because there's a couple on them here that are Dan and I's personal favorites. The first one is Taco Bell tacos. You ate a record 53 beef soft tacos. I'm a gigantic Taco Bell fan. I understand this fully. You ate these in 10 minutes. I could gas through 12 or 16 of those things.
Yeah, Taco Bell, it's the most underrated food there is. I mean, it's some good things on that menu.
Goddamn right. Yes.
Yeah, I know somebody that used to be in a senior management position at Taco Bell PepsiCo back in the day, and he said they actively attempted to disguise the fact that it is one of the most, if not the most, healthy fast foods that exist, because they thought it was bad for the brand to seem healthy. Because all the ingredients, like the carb count is pretty low. It's like fat and real meat, real protein, most of it is. So they were like, well, some company, I don't remember who it was, but they did a test of all the biggest fast food chains and found that Taco Bell had the healthiest menu. Mm-hmm. And they actively tried to suppress that information.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Because they don't, why would you, if you're Taco Bell, no, you want drunk fucking sorority girls at 2 a.m. That's your fucking business.
That's true.
You're not taking the family out for a healthy dinner.
Yeah, like, you want people drinking those Baja Blasts and mm-hmm. And get a number four with a Nachos Bel Grande on the side.
Oh, you gotta get those the chalupas.
Ooh,
chalupas good. I like the Mexican pizza, but they changed something in the sauce now, and it doesn't taste good anymore.
The same, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
I might burn down a Taco Bell.
With the Doritos, those taco idea, the Doritos hard shells. Mm-hmm. They're genius.
Yeah,
it worked amazing.
Yeah, look, whoever's running Taco Bell's whole outfit is a genius. When they combine with KFC at certain stores around the nation, I wept, and then I ate a lot. But I'm a huge fan of that. The next record you own is actually Dan's favorite, and I hadn't had this until I was with Dan. You own the record for eating poutine at 25.5 pounds.
No, it's 28 pounds.
28 pounds in 10 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah, so I went through 28 pounds. Some of the gravy probably didn't get digested. It would hit the ground or it stayed in the cup. But it was definitely like 26 pounds of substance. And
Jesus Christ.
So much food. Like afterwards, it was like I was hit by like a tranquilizer. Everything was like in slow motion, and any kind of questions that I had to answer, any interviews I did, it was just didn't make any sense.
This is Canadian poutine, which...
It's drugs.
That's crazy. The Canadian poutine uses turkey gravy, which means there's tryptophan in it, which is probably why you were about to pass out after eating it. Like, that's a massive dose.
It was, yeah. And I was just so bloated. Oh, it was there are times where I'm bloated and I'm like uncomfortable, but I was just so bloated and I was happy, but it was just weird.
Eating 25 pounds or 28 pounds of anything, though, you're going to feel bloated and weird. That's just me. I want to talk about Kobayashi. Dan and I watched I want to say 30 for 30 doc between you and Kobayashi, which was fantastic, by the way. I didn't realize what a weird guy he was in real life.
Yeah. I don't understand him. He thinks he's. I mean, I know what I do. It's competitive eating. It's weird, and I'm lucky. It's my job. And he thinks he's an artist or something. And I miss competing against him. He's the reason why I pushed myself so hard. And in the beginning, at least. There's in every field, whether it's Antonio Brown or whether you're going to get some great people who have amazing talent, but they're just kind of weird. And Kobayashi is just kind of weird.
Yeah, he's one of those eccentric guys. And after watching the doc, because I always thought there was some form of controversy that, you know, he used to play it up every year where he would, you know, he came to the event one time. And he got arrested, I believe.
2010, yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those things to me where after watching that doc, I just thought, here's a guy who's lost. He knows he can't beat you anymore. And it was kind of the end of his career, if you will. And it seemed kind of sad on his end at the end of it. But you're just that dominant. And, you know, look, you're a once-in-a-generation athlete. Is that the way you felt about it, looking back at it?
Well, I don't want to say it, but every time he loses, he has an excuse, and he tries to downplay it and downplay the loss, which is all right. But if I lose, I'm going to come back stronger and hungrier, and if I lose twice in a row, there's something wrong. You have to admit it. And he's an awesome eater, and truth is, he could probably beat me in a lot of foods. But on the 4th of July in hot dogs, I'm going to put the work in, it's a food I'm super comfortable with. And I'm going to use my capacity. And I think he knew that he wasn't going to cut it in hot dogs, but it's sad that it showed me how not to lose, because yeah. There is going to be a time where I lose and lose again. And, I'm going to have to shake the guy's hand and say, this guy's better than me. And either accept being second or walk away.
Yeah, and speaking of which, there was a time when you lost. You lost
2015,
to
right?
Yeah, 2015 to Stoney. What happened there? Because I had heard some rumors that you were going through some personal problems, something in your relationship. Was that true, and did that affect your eating that day?
Yeah, it's I had a wedding that was called off in May.
No way.
Yeah. It was a nightmare, dude. You don't want to call your mom and tell her, hey, we're not getting married. I had to call everybody. It was a nightmare. I wouldn't wish that upon anybody. And so, you know, Matt ate better than me that year. He deserved a win. So he ate 62 and I ate 60. I lost. I could give a ton of excuses, but it affected my training. And when you train bad, you're going to perform bad. Next year I tried to redeem myself and went back to the drawing board, and I came back and ate more than I ever had at 4th of July in 2016. So I'm not happy I lost in 2015, but it made me better. We're the sum of our past, and it made me better.
Where is she at today? Does she watch every year, and do you think she's jealous of your success going forward?
I don't know. It's a good thing it happened. She was it was one of those volatile relationships that are just like crazy, and
Dan's the king of those, by the way.
Yep.
it's hot and cold, but I don't got anything bad to say about her, and I'm sure she's happy, and it just wasn't meant to be.
Do you think anytime she goes to a barbecue, like this 4th of July, for example, and everybody's like, hey, do you want a hot dog? She's like, no, I've had enough.
I'm good. Okay. I've had enough dogs.
God damn it. No more.
Yeah. She used to get pretty angry. And I bet it's ruined 4th of July for
her. Are you married now? Do you have kids?
No, I'm not married. I got a girlfriend and a couple dogs And yeah, so I'm pretty happy.
I bet the dogs love it, man. When you're training, they can just like sit at the bottom of the table and wait for those scraps to hit the ground.
Absolutely.
Being a dog in the Chestnut household, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
When I reincarnate, that's what I'm going for.
Yeah. It was 2 weeks ago. I made all the hot dogs. I put them out, prepped them, and then I was filling up my water cups, and I went to the bathroom to get some more water, and then I came back, and there was a plate of empty hot dogs, and my dog was he couldn't resist.
Well, I mean, look, you can't leave hot dogs out with dog around. What kind of dogs do you have?
I have a German Shepherd and a poodle mix.
Ah, that's an odd combo.
I don't know. Those poodles are hypoallergenic. That's why a lot of people get them. So okay.
Poodle is my girlfriend's dog.
Yeah.
And the German Shepherd, he protects. I travel so much. I can leave him alone for a night or two by himself, and I have somebody check on him. But he's wonderful taking care of the house. He's such a good guard dog.
Yeah, I've got two Boston Terriers. They are not good guard dogs. Although I got guns for both of them now.
Yes, he taught the dogs how to shoot.
Well, so they don't know how to shoot, but they have guns duct taped to their back whenever I'm gone.
Yeah.
Just like as an intimidation measure.
Of course.
Like if you see a little tiny dog run up and he's got a fucking Glock on his back, like you don't know what the fuck happened then.
No, you have no idea.
People leave.
And you certainly don't want to rob the house anymore.
No, actually having a dog in the house lessens the chance of break-in by 65%, no matter what kind of dog it is.
Look at that. Even the poodle.
Yeah, the smaller the dog, the better, because they yap more, and it's intimidating.
You don't say.
Yeah, it's like racking a shotgun in your house.
After you win, does the president call you? Who calls you after you win?
No, no president has ever called me.
What the fuck, Trump?
Come on!
Just shit together.
Bush, Obama, Trump.
What do I got to do to get a fucking call from the president? Yeah. How many hot dogs does he eat?
We should do a hashtag call Joey Chestnut after he wins.
We'll start a petition on change.org.
Well, we'll just have our listeners go to Trump checks his social media all the time. Tell him to call Joey Chestnut after he wins.
We could start a Twitter fucking thing. Yeah, for
That'd
sure.
Be great. Yeah, just go to Trump's Instagram and put a hashtag call Joey Chestnut after he wins on Saturday, because you are going to win this Saturday.
For sure.
And I believe you are going to break the record. I really believe that.
It's gonna be a hard one. That's a tough record to beat, and I just gotta find a vicious, mean rhythm. It's not gonna be pretty, but it's life.
Yeah, it never is.
I want to start another petition as well, and that's to get a Rocky style statue built on Coney Island
of Joey Chestnut. Yeah, that'd be great.
Why the fuck would that not already exist?
I don't know. We're tearing down statues in every city right now.
Let's build a couple.
Replace them with Joey Chestnut.
Get rid of these Confederate assholes who lost their war and fucking put a winner up there.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake. This guy's a world record holder. Come on.
July. Yeah. We need to just be proud. Be happy.
I think eventually one day after he retires, there really will be a statue at Coney Island of Joey Chestnut.
There fucking better be. And in Kentucky as well.
Yeah, your home state. That's where you were born. You were born in Kentucky, right?
No, dude. So I've been to Kentucky, I did four or five contests there, and I have a pretty good fan base, and I go and party there quite a bit. And every time they change my Wikipedia page, every time it gets changed back to California.
Oh, that's funny. That's really funny. So you're actually
they'll find a way. These guys they'll change it back to Kentucky. Like I'm honorary Kentucky now. It's really funny. But then there's other people from California who are like, oh, he grew up in Vallejo and he lives in San Jose.
Oh, you live in San Jose, huh?
Yeah.
How's that going?
What's that?
I said, how's that going? I mean, I lived in Oakland for 7 or 8 years. It's different than San Jose, but not entirely. Like East San Jose is kind of like Oakland, I guess.
Yeah, San Jose is weird. It's a nice suburb. We have awesome weather, and it is what it is. A lot of tech industry.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. I can understand though Kentucky wanting to claim you as their chosen son. They don't have a lot of heroes there in Kentucky.
No. Mitch McConnell,
they have a lot of bourbon, though.
The Colonel,
they got the you Colonel. Don't need a lot when you have a bourbon.
Yeah, exactly.
Colonel Sanders was not a real Colonel, by the way.
Well, he was.
No,
he served.
No, he did not.
I think he served.
Colonel was an honorific given to people who owned large plantations and shit like that.
I don't know. If he owned slaves, we would
know. I don't think he owned slaves, no. Okay. But like a like he owned a large farm of some sort.
Plantation, yeah, so, where he raised the chickens.
Well, I don't think he raised the specific chickens.
I think he probably did, and that's how he got started. We've all got to start somewhere.
I think it started with the bow tie and mustache, to be honest.
Could be. Could be. You ever sat down and talked to some of the greats like Michael Jordan or any of those guys and compared notes on like how you you prepare?
No, usually not like – like if I met Shaq, Charles Barkley a couple times, who else? A couple of baseball players, but usually it's you just talk about normal stuff when you meet these guys. And what's funny is like everybody really is we're the same. We like the same stuff. We like to laugh. We like to enjoy food, and yeah, you get competition mode is different though. If I met somebody in competition mode, like in my competitors, I'm nice around them right now, but at day of the contest, I'm their enemy. So I'm pushing them to their breaking point.
So
they're pushing me to.
You're saying yeah, you're saying that nice. You're challenging Shaq to a hot dog eating contest. Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, I did. Yeah, I was on Shaq versus.
Oh, no way.
Did you? I assume you won, right?
Oh, yeah, I dominated.
How many did you eat and how many did he eat?
I think I did 52 or 55, and he had a team of him plus three other people, and they got, I think they were like 40-something.
Wow. You're Shaq, talking to the best in the business.
Shaq is, what, 7'1", and he weighs 280 to 320, give or take, depending on what level of shape he's in.
He's probably 330 right now.
Yeah, he has some serious fluctuation.
Yeah, he's a big dude. Wow.
Yeah, so Saturday, are you in a hotel right now in New York? Is that where you're at?
Yeah, already in New York. They just instituted the quarantine, so people coming from California now would have to quarantine for 2 weeks in New York. So I came in early because that's what everybody said. Hey, you got to come in early just in case they quarantine. And so I skipped my last practice because in California, so I came out early, and now I'm getting ready. I'm starting to prep. I'll be stopping eating on Thursday, and Friday or Saturday I'll be empty and loose. I'll be ready to just tear it up.
Well, yeah, between now and then, like when did you get to New York, and then how have you been training since you got there? Are you just ordering hot dogs from some local place?
Oh yeah, so I had some hot dogs yesterday. Mm-hmm. I did just a quick 20 hot dog practice, make sure everything was feeling right, all the muscles in my throat and jaws, but. Yeah, so I'll stop eating hot dogs. I might have a couple more tonight, but then my last main practice was supposed to be on Saturday in San Jose, but I decided to come out early, and a good thing I did because they have the quarantine now. I'll try to eat normal tomorrow, and then I'll start my fast, and my cleanse, it's pretty much a cleanse, like almost like the Hollywood diet, where it's lemon juice and water. And I make sure that there's absolutely nothing inside my body before the contest. Make sure it's a clean highway.
Yeah, empty and loose. That's how Dan likes them.
I do, yeah.
He likes his women empty and loose.
I guess empty, and then I fill them up.
Yeah, yeah. Walk us through game day. So Saturday, what time do you get up? I know the contest is usually about 12:20, 12:30. What time do you get up, and what's your routine that morning, Saturday morning?
Yeah, usually I have weird rituals. I think everybody does, but I try to get up pretty early, either 5:30 or 6 in the morning. I'll go for a walk, and just because I most of the time you digest food when you're sleeping, and that's when your stomach's naturally at its smallest. So I like to be up for a good amount of time before I do any massive eating. I'll drink. First thing I'll do in the morning is I'll drink a gallon of water, and then I'll have a little bit of coffee. And it's pretty much, it's a liquid diet, but I want to keep those muscles in my stomach used to stretching really quick. And when I drink the gallon of water early in the morning, I'm doing it in usually under 15 seconds.
Oh,
and
I'm sorry.
I'm just stretching those muscles.
You're drinking a gallon of water in 15 seconds.
Yeah. It's really just I'm just keeping everything stretched and loose. I'm trying to, I'm not taking any calories or anything real substance. The water will run through me really quick. And then I go for a walk, stretch, keep stretching. I do yoga the morning of the contest. Mm-hmm. Get to do my child's pose and mm-hmm. downward dog.
There's a type of yoga called sunning where you face your butthole towards the sun. Do you do that at all?
Yeah, you sun your perineum.
I haven't done it. I know exactly what you're talking about. I get some bad sunburns, I think. I have a white ass. It's almost translucent. You can almost see what's going on.
Can you imagine being on
it's almost translucent.
Can you imagine being on the DL because your butthole sunburn? Like you call Nathan's morning off, like, look, I was up late last night, it was sunny outside, my butthole's fucked.
It's happened before. It happened to Josh Brolin.
Yeah,
you can't take a shit.
That would be a bad idea.
That would be terrible.
You can't take a shit because if that happened to you, because all right, so contest ends, they put the mustard belt on you. How fast are you on a toilet after that?
Oh no, usually I'm not on the toilet until, geez, usually 4 hours later at least. It takes a little while for things to start moving. So right after the contest, I'm doing interviews for about an hour. It might be a little bit less this year, and then I'm hanging out with people who are close by on stage or whatever, whatnot. And then I'm just thirsty and tired. So I drink water, fall asleep on the bus ride back to New York, fall asleep in the hotel, wake up, either drink water and then, or roll over, get more comfortable. And then about 4 or 5 hours after the contest, that's when things are like, I'll just go, oh, I'll be hustling to the bathroom. So there's going to be some runs.
What's your psych up music? What are you listening to before? Like All the Single Ladies by Beyonce, or what is it?
Yeah, what do you come out to? What's your closer song? What do you come into?
It used to be my intro song used to be Bob O'Reilly, Teenage Wasteland.
Mm. Oh, big fan.
Yeah, and that's just a great intro song. In practice, it's usually some hard rock, either Marilyn Manson or Rob Zombie.
Nice. You definitely grew up in the 90s.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to go through some pain.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to just, all right, it's going to hurt, but I have to like it. And whatever comes, I just accept it and push it.
Man, I cannot wait for Saturday. They always say you shouldn't meet your heroes. They're incorrect today. I've met my hero. This is pretty much as high as I can go in my life. Joey Chestnut, you are the guy that I hoped you would be, and I want to see you break that fucking record on Saturday. We are a Chestnut household, and goddamn it, I'm giving you everything I got Saturday. I can promise you that.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy that we did this interview. I'm amped.
Same, man. Sports are back, dude. Sports are back on Saturday.
Yeah, this is important for everybody.
It is because we need to heal as a nation. Yeah. Right now, we have no distractions right now. Yeah. None. I'm tongue-tied as I'm saying it because I'm fired up for Saturday.
Is there any, are there any PEDs, performance-enhancing drugs, for this that you can take? Do they test you for anything, or how does that work?
I've been tested. Certain sponsors will test me.
Like, for what, though? What are they testing for?
But they just want to make sure I'm not a crackhead. but like when I was doing work,
that's actually not a bad idea, crackhead hot dog eating contest. Like, they're all jacked up on crack?
I haven't found any real drugs that would help. And Lord knows that I've kept my eyes open.
maybe weed to stimulate your appetite, but then you would lose focus probably, right? Like, yeah. you wouldn't be able to lose your intensity.
Yeah. You lose sense of your time.
Yeah.
I think caffeine it really helps. It helps. I get amped up. Sometimes I'll take a pre-workout right beforehand. Just so I can just push through it, anything, and just focus on that. But anything you take beforehand, I'm so empty. It's like magnified the day of the contest, or like by the time I'm actually eating. So I just want to do what I do, be happy and eat, be a fat bastard.
Yeah, man. God damn it! Again, I didn't get to meet Muhammad Ali.
I saw him once, but he was
the greatest today.
He was already loose by then.
Oh yeah, he was.
And I didn't meet him, but I saw him somewhere, and it was just like, there's no point in talking to him. I felt bad. Like, I can't talk to this guy right now. He's not going to know what the fuck's going on.
No. But we're meeting somebody in their prime right now, who's the very best in the entire world, and that is extremely rare. Joey Chestnut, thank you for being on Drinking Bros podcast today, sir. You were a hero, and you're the greatest living athlete we have of this or any generation, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Take care, guys. Thank you.
Bye, Joey.
See you, man.
Bye.
Chestnut, dude. What a guy.
Mm-hmm.
What a guy.
He's
best in the biz.
Champion.
Best in the biz. You ever been that close to greatness?
I mean, I wake up great every single day.
Sure, but not Joey Chestnut great, Dan.
I guess it depends on how you measure greatness.
I don't know. By world championships, he's got 12.
I've never competed one for one, but I don't think there's anything I could compete for.
You've never competed for any form of championship in your life?
I've competed for my life.
Okay.
Like in gunfights.
Sure, sure,
but that's
sure.
about it, and that yeah. doesn't really count because millions of people have done that.
Right, and you don't get a belt. You don't get a mustard belt or anything.
No, you don't. You get a CIB, Combat Infantry Badge.
Yeah.
Which is better than a goddamn mustard belt.
Is it? Yeah. Is it, Dan?
It is.
A lot of people would beg to differ.
I feel like if you walk into a bar with war stories versus stories of eating hot dogs, maybe the war stories win.
I don't know, dude.
I guess it depends on the girl.
It does, man. No lie, I like... The hilarious part of me is like, I watch that fucking dude like every year with my family. It's our weird, every family's got like some weird family tradition.
Yeah.
Mine is watching Joey Chestnut in the 4th of July.
Mine is none of us talking to each other for 25 years. It's weird. But hey, you know, traditions are important.
They're important to keep. we got some sponsors who pay for this fucking shit wagon to be on the air. First and foremost, KillCliffCBD.com. I'm out of this.
Not me. I've got two cases.
God damn it, man. I'm out of it because we're getting ready to move to Austin, Texas. So I didn't order any more to my house in case there was like a, you know, a late delivery. And mm-hmm. I was like, man, I don't want the fucking next people to have these goddamn things. I want them for myself. But right now you can get them for yourself and get 20% off at KillCliffCBD.com with the promo code Drinking Bros. That'll get you 20% off a case and then get free shipping, which is super important in that. Go to KillCliffCBD.com today. Three amazing flavors, grape, orange kush, and mango. I still go with the grapest of all time. KillCliffCBD.com, promo code Drinking Bros, 20% off. Next up, we've got MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros will get you 150% of your deposit back is what it will get you.
And if you're going to be watching the hot dog eating competition with us this weekend, just know that we've already bet on the over of 71.5.
Correct.
And it's I bet on the record.
Yep.
And we'll be texting Joey some weird shit if he wins.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things where the max bet there is $100 on this. And you know I went all in. So I maxed out on both of those bets on Chestnut. I think he's going to do it because he's isolated in a room and he's going to be in AC. It's going to be peak conditions. And I'm sure people are going to bitch over it.
Oh, he may get an asterisk next to the thing. But Joey's the kind of guy. Like he's like... those fighters you see when they get hit the first time, that's when they actually start fighting.
Yeah.
Like he kind of cruised his way. He beat Kobayashi for sure, but he kind of stayed in that same general range until homeboy Matt, whatever the fuck his name was.
Yeah.
Beat him. What was his
Matt
name?
Stoney.
Yeah.
Matt Stoney in 2015.
Yeah. And then he started to crank it up. That's when he started going like 60, 65, 70, and then 71 and 74.
Yeah.
So we'll see if they try to talk shit to him this year. After this one, I feel like he might come back next year and just eat everybody's, including the other contestants, hot dogs.
Yeah, I mean, look, it reminds me when Bonds and McGuire were going for 70, you know?
Sosa?
Yeah, all those guys. Because, you know, I think Bonds topped out at, what, 74?
73.
So 73.
Yep.
So Chestnut's at 74.5, so he already owns, you know, he's 1.5 over Bonds. And again, I would put that as equal playing field of home runs. And eating hot dogs?
There have been... How many other people have ever eaten 70?
None.
Right? So yeah. What's the next highest total?
So for baseball, there has been. Like, McGuire hit 70.
Yeah.
And then you've got Bonds, so there's two. Chestnut is in a league of his own there, and you can bet on it at mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros, again, will get you 150% of your deposit back. So that means put 100 in, you get 150 back to bet with, which is fucking awesome. And you can bet on everything now. I'm not sure, Dan, if sports are going to go on here. Denver Nuggets is breaking news. Just shut down their facility.
Yeah, so. And the Nets, not that they had any chance of winning anything anyways, but Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant,
DeAndre Jordan got the Rona.
And Wilson Chandler are all out already.
Mm-hmm.
Dinwiddie or whatever his name is, who is fucking great, by the way.
It's great.
Like his PER this year, I think, is like 25 mm-hmm. so far. He's averaging 20 points and 7 assists a game. Breakout year. And that team next year, by the way, is going to be fucking nasty.
Yeah, if they all come back healthy. Yeah,
it's going to be Kyrie Irving, Dinwiddie, and Kevin Durant and fucking Wilson Chandler is on that team and fucking DeAndre Jordan. I mean, that's a tough lineup right there.
I know. So we'll see what happens. But there's no way this season takes off.
I don't think it happens.
No.
Baseball, I think, will probably happen. I don't think that basketball will. And here's the problem. They have this 8-game playoff. Like, everybody's questioned what do we do if...
8-game or 8-round playoff?
8-game. It's like 8 games to finish the season or whatever.
Which is
essentially a playoff for those teams that are borderline. Yeah, so yeah. What happens if, like, they've already scheduled the shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happens if one of those entire, like, if somebody's supposed to play the Nets aren't there. Like, they may not even be able to field a full team.
No. And, you know, you'd look at, and we brought this up on the sports show a couple days ago. What happens if your best player goes down? So for Denver Nuggets, the Joker's down. He's got the Rona.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do if LeBron goes down? Is that even worth playing anymore? Just to say you won a title against the.
Well, I guess it depends on how long he's down. I mean, I feel like if you get coronavirus, you have to. The protocol right now is you have to quarantine for 14 days.
Right.
14 days is 2 full series.
Yeah.
So if you're in the first round, maybe you can keep playing and see what happens. If you're a team with the talent that the Lakers have, maybe you can make it to the third round.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that before, like. The year that Golden State won 73 games, I'm pretty sure Curry missed. Like, he played the first game of the first round and then missed the rest of that and missed the entire second round and then came back in the third round against Oklahoma City, right?
Yeah.
So it's happened before with a great player, but most of those, like, the Lakers have a great team, but they don't have Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, and Klay Thompson to back up that guy that's out.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's just not a thing. So who knows what the fuck's going to happen now.
Yeah. The other part of this is you take the baseball players. Some are opting just to sit out, and so are the coaches. Yeah. So Ryan Zimmerman is the biggest name so far for the Nationals, and he was like, hey, man, my health is too important. I'm not coming back for this.
Yeah.
Then there's a lot of coaches who are in their late 60s.
I wouldn't. If I was in my late 60s, I definitely wouldn't do
they're
it.
They're not coming back. So like, they've already said they're not. I'm not going to go and coach this year.
I mean, I feel like if you're a coach or a manager, you could do that shit remotely. You don't need to be there to do that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some feel to the game, but I feel like
– one of them is a bullpen coach. So, you know, it's tough. And I hate to be a fucking naysayer or a doomsdayer on this one, but I just don't see how any of this stuff is coming back. Luckily, we're going to get this hot dog eating contest on Saturday. That's going to have to tie it over your bellies for a while, I have a feeling. And that's just my guess. Last sponsor is GhostBed.com/Drinking Bros. 25% off everything in the entire store at GhostBed.com/Drinking Bros. That's sheets, pillows, adjustable bases, mattresses, you name it. Also, if you get a mattress right now, you get 2 free pillows. And I promise you, the pillows are just as great as the goddamn mattress. COVID-free. And I'm going to be honest. If you were in a hot dog eating contest and you were lying on your side on there, I think you might. You're so comfortable, you just let it all go in the bed.
Yeah, maybe you got to get that protector.
Yeah, definitely sure. Get that protector on there.
Yeah,
that as well is 25% off. And as always, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go, no interest program at GhostBed.com/Drinking Bros. So go there today, get your mattress, and bundle all that shit together. Walk out of there with like $28 a month, dude, for 36 months. Great, no interest for 36 months. It's fucking crazy. Dan, I know this wasn't going to be a sports show, but necessarily, because Joey Chestnut's one of the most famous people in the world.
Yeah, he transcends sports.
Yeah, that's. But there is a lot of sports stories going on that we should report. The state of Arizona has closed down, including all sports facilities. That includes college. Now, college has still maintained that they are coming back. So is the NFL. Arizona Cardinals are there for the NFL. why the hesitation anymore, I guess, at this point? Are they hoping this magically goes away in 30 days? Because Arizona imposed a 30-day fucking shutdown. So you're not coming back until August 1st at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Look, football season starts the end of August. College does. And then pros start, you know, second week
of September. I guess I thought that the point of the shutdown wasn't necessarily to prevent the spread of COVID itself, but to make sure we don't overwhelm the hospital systems, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, these people have private health care.
Right.
Like, these are rich people.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about, really? Like, if you're a young athlete, I feel like this is all ridiculous. I agree with that the coach, if you're 55 or older, you should probably stay away,
mm-hmm.
to be honest. But if you're an athlete in your 20s and 30s, there's no reason not to just keep playing.
So I wanted to ask you something that I didn't ask you the other day. Let's say you're Ezekiel Elliott, right?
Mm.
He came out of this and he said the same thing I did. Look, this lasts for about 3 days.
Mm.
You know, it's kind of like a mild cold, and and then you're over it.
That's for the 30 to 50% of people who experience symptoms, mm-hmm. not the 30 to 40% who experience no symptoms.
Correct.
At all.
That were asymptomatic.
Yeah, entirely. So.
And because with that, like, I was with four people, three of them had the same, we all had the same shit, right? One of them did not. And it was like, well, do I have it or do I not have it? And it was like, I would assume some of these people are going to be asymptomatic. In the case of LSU and Clemson, there is kids that are testing positive that are asymptomatic of it.
Yep.
But they're having positive tests here. Is it one of those things that you can say, hey, man, I'm healthy enough, we're all going to get it. Can't you just sit out the 3 days and then come back after that? What's with the 14-day wait if everybody around you is going, you're going to get it?
The 14-day thing is, I don't know why 14 days from the time they test you. It should be 14 days from the time they verify that you contracted it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where the virus shedding happens. That's my understanding anyways. That would make a lot more sense to me than just a blanket 14 days. But look, you can't... when you're dealing in mass like that, you really can't legislate to the individual because it's just too much work to do it that way. So it's just like, all right, forget it. It's 14-day quarantine. That's what we know for sure is safe for everybody. But it's probably, I think this virus actually runs its course faster than that. And the shedding part of it is a little bit quicker as well. Plus, you have to account for the first 3 to 4 days where you're asymptomatic in everybody's case. Like, nobody gets sick on day one. So right. I just don't know why they came to that decision, but I'm sure there's some reason behind it.
Dr. Fauci, this is breaking news right now, has just testified to a Senate committee Tuesday that he would not be surprised if the U.S. begins reporting as many as 100,000 new coronavirus cases per day. That is per day. He said, I'm very concerned and not satisfied with what's going on because we're going in the wrong direction. What's the big picture here? What if everybody gets this fucking thing? If you've got 100,000 a day, I mean, you're looking in half the country at that point after a month.
That would take 10 years to affect everybody in the country. So it would take 5 years for half the country. Okay. But, you know, whatever.
I'm never good at math. I'm not claiming to be a mathematician, Dan.
This is the shit that that CNN posts, though. This is like some of their headlines today. He was an athlete in the best shape of his life. Then COVID-19 nearly killed him.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to, even though the not even preponderance, but all of the evidence suggests that healthy people that are fucking under 55 have almost no chance of dying from this.
Right.
Like literally no chance. Yeah. Like 0.0003% or 4% chance of dying or some stupid shit like that. They find one example of a guy who was an athlete. He's actually old as shit. He's 40 for an athlete. Obviously not for a human being, but like, come on, man. That's like saying I have a black friend when somebody calls you racist.
Right.
Like, I'm going to find this one fucking person who doesn't fit the data but does fit my narrative. CNN are a bunch of cunts. We all know that.
Yeah.
Like, that's nothing new. So one of their other articles today is, I mentioned this the other day, and it's a video. What if Trump loses and refuses to leave?
Yeah.
This is the third time they've run the same story. This time it's video instead of text.
Well, that means there's getting a lot of clicks.
Yeah.
So now they want those video views for that advertising dollar for the 30-second ads. But that's the dumbest shit I've ever heard of all time. You know, the other one I kept reading last night was Trump's whispering to all of his
That he's going to quit?
Yeah, he's going to quit.
Get the fuck out of here, too.
Prayer on this
you kidding
earth.
Me?
And they were like, no, GOP insiders were all saying it. He's thinking about quitting. And it's like,
do you think Trump talks to GOP insiders?
No.
Like, dude. He has insulated himself from the establishment on purpose.
Yeah. I think it's pretty much fuck. Him and his family now at this point, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Because I heard Eric Trump's running all the businesses. And then Ivanka and Jared Kushner are doing, you know, the rest of the shit. I wouldn't trust anybody in there.
Mm-mm. I wouldn't trust my own family if I was Trump because they all look like squishy faces to me.
Well, stop it. Ivanka is real goddamn hot.
Every time I hear her talk, it's like, to me, it just reminds me of the simple life.
Maybe. Look.
Like, I've never done shit in my life except for get paid to be alive.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of fucking... I don't need somebody like that telling me what
She's
to do.
Attractive.
Sorry.
She is attractive.
There's plenty of attractive people out there that aren't like that.
That's my speed, man.
I'm all set on that.
You know what's weird? Was back in the day in Hollywood, she used to run around with like the Kardashians and shit.
Of course she did.
It was her, Paris Hilton, and Kim. Mm-hmm. And they would run around together. And the weird thing was...
Well, Kim was like an assistant to Paris Hilton,
yeah,
right?
She wasn't famous. Paris was the one who was super famous. And now you look at it, if you would have picked out which dad would have been president back then and said,
well, it wasn't going to be Robert Kardashian.
Well, who knows? After that OJ trial,
no,
that's as famous as one could possibly have gotten in the
world.
Well,
he was dead though.
Well, he didn't die immediately after the trial.
No, but he like before she was out there partying probably.
Yeah.
What was it? 99 or 2000 that he died.
You know, what's weird. If he doesn't do that case, we don't know anything about the Kardashians and her sex tape is meaningless.
For real. Yeah,
it's just another fucking hot girl who's, you know, in her early 20s with a sex tape. Yeah. Nobody gives a shit about that.
No.
It's so crazy how that happened. That
oh, my God.
Fucking thing.
Texas Realtor Group says it will no longer use the word quote unquote master to describe bedrooms in its listings.
Stop it. What are they going to call the master bedroom?
I don't know. The biggin. Come on down to the biggin, man. Hell yeah. It's got a bathroom attached to it. This is where you can fuck your wife, man. Jesus Christ, dude.
The biggin.
So fucking stupid. I don't know if you're a fan of Futurama, but there's a scene where everybody...
One of my best... used to be best friend, plays Bender.
Mm.
John DiMaggio.
Yeah, that guy's a tool.
Fuck it. No. Do you know him?
No, but I know about him.
Oh, you do?
Like, I've heard some of his public comments. He's a tool.
I've never heard him speak publicly.
Super, super liberal dude.
He's really funny in real life, but...
Well, I'm sure he's funny,
He picked up all of his shit and moved to Palm Springs.
Well, that's... He's probably gay then, because...
No, he's married.
It's only gay men that live in Palm Springs.
No. He's...
like
I met his
old,
wife.
Old, rich, white dudes and gay men.
He's definitely straight.
Palm Springs... I met his wife. I've had some amazing experiences with the gay people of Palm Springs. Like, I would go into a restaurant. I used to go vacation there all the time. I'd go into a restaurant and order something. They're like, oh, no, you're not ordering that. I'm like, all right, dude, just tell me what to get. I don't want to get in a fight with a gay dude about food right now. Just tell me what to order, and I'll order it.
Every bachelor party we went to is in Palm Springs.
You get the best service there.
It's great.
Like, no shit. They're professional wait staff. They're legit. There. No, it's fucking hot as shit, man.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And that one little airport that's up on top of the hill, like, I'm not doing that. No way. I feel like I'd fall off the hill.
Yeah, but look, everything's changing, man. All this shit. The master bedroom, the fucking, you name it, every single day there's something new.
I love it, man. This is so funny to me because this is, it's like everything is coming to fruition now. All the stuff that we've been warned about over time is all happening right now. Yeah. And there's no stopping it now.
No. And who is the latest one? Kristen Bell, who's, was she in Big Mouth?
No, that was... the girl with
that was from
the
SNL.
Nose.
Yeah, Jenny Slate.
Slate, yeah.
Yeah. So Kristen Bell was in another cartoon series, but both of them. I guess Jenny Slate played a black girl's voiceover in that in that show. She's not doing it anymore. She thinks.
Oh, the guy who did the voice for Cleveland Brown on Family Guy quit too.
He quit too. Yep. So Kristen Bell came out. Now she's playing a mixed character, so it's both a white and a black girl, and she's quitting because she said this should be played by somebody mixed. And I was
should
like,
it.
You almost got to pick a race on that one.
I mean, it's a cartoon.
Somebody else wrote underneath it. They were like, all cartoons should be played by cartoons only, which is where we're at now.
I feel like if you, like horses, the same thing for horses.
Yeah.
Like if you're trying to make an anthropomorphic horse or something like that, or a horse that, like Mr. Ed, for example, that wasn't really a horse talking. You know that, right?
Right.
They just put peanut butter on the roof of his mouth to make his mouth move.
Yeah, and then the
same thing they did with Ronald Reagan towards the end of his presidency.
Yeah, well, same thing they're doing with Biden every single day.
Oh yeah, he's a frittata at this point.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't
he's,
it?
He's gone. He's
not coming back.
I don't know what's happening here, but I don't like it.
No, and
40 years of racist legislation has resulted in this mess that I'm coming to clean up. Yeah. Like, well, you wrote the bill, dude.
Yeah.
There's two main factors when it comes to crime. One, father being gone out of the household. Two, poverty, right? Yep. Those are the two number ones. Biden, you wrote that bill. Put all the black dudes in jail, brother. So, yeah, the Democratic Party is full of shit. They're running on this reform bullshit.
Yeah.
And you are literally the people that caused the problem.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It's some kind of weird strategy, marketing strategy. I don't know what it is, but.
I don't either. And Jesse pointed out today, she was like, you notice who's giving all of the speeches right now is Jill Biden.
Well, she's the smart one. She always has been.
I understand.
She's
that,
a doctor.
When is homeboy going to come out? Are they just going to keep him hidden in the closet? I've seen some. Look, a lot of these polls that you're reading out there from CNN of Trump is down by 14 and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
From what I heard, insider wise. None of those polls are obviously true.
No, of course
not. I heard the lead is really about 2 points, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but
and it can go either way.
The polls are nonsense anyways.
Nonsense, dude.
Like we learned that last time.
Yeah.
Nobody believes that shit.
That's what it feels like. This feels like 2016 all over again. But we'll see. They're certainly trying to slant things to get him out of there. You know, they're trying to open up where the Hawks play in Atlanta to get as a voting station.
Yeah, that's not the worst idea I've ever heard.
It's not the greatest either, man. And because
you got to do something. If you're the Republican Party and you're going to be super anti-mail-in vote, then you have to come up with a better option, because having one place that's run correctly is way better than having to try to manage 400 different polling locations,
yeah,
in my opinion.
But then you've got – here's the thing. You run the risk of – if you're opening up gigantic polling stations like that in one particular area, you're going to have to do it everywhere, which is the problem, where it's just like, all right, cool, man. What about the rural towns, like the farmers and all that other shit? They don't have a giant place where they can go vote.
No, I mean, they usually use schools and churches and shit like that, which I think is fucked up.
Yeah. Why do you think that's fucked up, by the way? You're right.
Well, schools are fine, but a church, like, why would you involve a tax-exempt religious organization in a place or in voting in a country where religion versus irreligion have been established? Like, you can't there's obviously the establishment clause, and people go back and forth on what that means and if it's right or not or whatever. What was the real meaning? Their meaning was very fucking obvious, actually, just like the Second Amendment's really obvious. But David Souter opined in 96 in a case about an Hasidic Jewish community that not only can you not respect one religion over another if you're the government, you can't respect religion versus irreligion or the absence of religion.
Mm-hmm.
You can't use a church to fucking vote. Give me a fucking break.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, but whatever. Who cares? Voting is pointless, guys. I've said that for years.
Yeah.
Remember when I pissed off, what was her name? Kaya Jones.
Oh, yeah.
I made her so mad. Yeah. She's like, what do you mean you don't, you think it's rigged? Is that why you don't vote? I'm like, I guess, kind of, but it's just pointless in general. She got so, I've never seen, that might be the maddest anyone I wasn't dating has ever been at me.
I'll never forget that dinner we went to.
Oh, yeah.
That.
It was great. Hilarious.
Really, really fucking funny.
oh, man.
She did not give a fuck. I'd actually like to have her back on the show.
She's a fun guest. Yeah. I like her as a person. I just like, it's so easy to push her buttons.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I like hanging out with her, because I'm just like, I say shit I don't believe half the time.
Yeah.
Just to fucking get her mad. Which is, you know, good on her for, like, she gets mad and then she forgets that she was mad. She doesn't like hold a grudge or anything. So I'm like, all right, cool. I can keep doing this forever.
Yeah. I liked her. She was funny.
Yeah.
I think she
moved to New York, and the dude she's dating is super fucking hot too.
Oh, is it really? Let's fuck him.
He's a good looking dude. Let's bang that guy. I think we'll need to at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to plan a trip to New York and bang
check it out. Once they get rid of this stupid Fucking quarantine bullshit.
Well, look, kids, it was it's weird times. It was exciting to have Joey Chestnut on, the greatest of all time, and I hope he can break the record. But I have a feeling that's one of the last sporting events we're going to see for a while.
Well, we're going to keep seeing fighting. As a matter of fact, Fight Island is about to open up.
It is, yes.
And I talked to John
Anik UFC, yeah.
yesterday.
Oh, yeah. What did he say?
He said, well, he's just chilling, taking time off with his family for the next week or so, and then he's going to Dubai for at least
five
a month.
5 weeks, right?
At least a month, yeah.
Yeah. Holy shit. That's crazy, man.
Mm-hmm.
Good for Dana White, though. I tell you what, every Saturday night, kids go to bed.
Yeah.
I'll pop on UFC. It's always on every Saturday night, man. It's the only sport we have. Mm-hmm. And I've become bigger of a fan.
His the amount of the market they've captured now. Like, if you're a sport in America, your market share, like, some people just don't watch team sports. They either watch, they like tennis or boxing or NASCAR or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe UFC. If you're talking about the main five sports, and when I say the main five sports in America, I mean obviously baseball, basketball, football, hockey, and fighting, whether it's boxing or MMA.
Right.
You're always competing for market share. Like, what are people going to watch on Saturday night? Now, Saturday night is, in the same way Sunday night is owned by football, Saturday night is owned by fucking the UFC. Like, boxing is not even in competition for that Saturday night slot anymore.
Yeah.
So he's really done a good job of taking advantage of this whole situation. Not that he's being, like, taking advantage of it, but, like, doing the right things because people need sports.
Yeah, and look, it's the same with our podcast. Like, we've been going every single day, 6 out of 7 days a week, and everybody asks, hey, man, are you guys going to keep doing this? We love it.
Yeah.
It's the only concept.
I mean, we're
even
trying to get we're trying to get even more going. Speaking of the other podcasts we're trying to get going, Bert Koontz will love this one. A 72-year-old woman was gored by a bison at Yellowstone National Park when she tried to take a picture. Look, folks, bison aren't your friends. They're big as shit. They will gore you. They will stomp your ass out. They'll fuck you up. Stay away from them. God damn it, man. Like, how many times do we have to say this shit?
When does Bert's show start? Because Bert's going to be on our network here. When is his show start?
I don't know. He's still getting set up.
His studio is beautiful.
It is really nice, yeah.
He needs the equipment and everything. Yeah. Because Hollywood's going to be shut down for a while. Tell Tyler Gray to get out there and start recording, man.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was a hiccup because they thought Hollywood was coming back. Mm-hmm. And Jack is going to be on the show a lot, too. And
Jack Osborne. Osborne.
Yeah. So he was thinking he was going to go back to shooting the ghost hunting show, but it doesn't look like that's going to be able to start back up either. So they're probably going to lean into the podcast, I guess.
Yeah. I said something early on Ross Patterson Revolution about the TV show that I sold. It's fucking on hold. Like, every single person is, and it's, you know, it's something you don't think about of insurance, because they're worried about getting sued if a crew member gets COVID and then sues. And we just saw a case of that yesterday, actually, with a couple of these sports teams where they started suing, being like, I was put in harm's way and I shouldn't have been, and blah, 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 blah. That is all Hollywood is worried about. So if you're out there and you're like, when's my favorite show coming back? It's not going to be for a while because they're worried about these lawsuits.
And for the purposes of insurance, just signing a waiver saying I won't sue if I get COVID is meaningless. That doesn't mean shit when it comes to insurance.
Yep.
Like, they're not suing you personally. They're suing your insurance at that point. Yeah. So there's no waiver that'll fucking stop that from happening. And that's going to happen. Like, I don't know what the insurance is that Major League Baseball teams have, or if it's an umbrella where it's the Players Association has insurance that's under Major League Baseball, and then the under that is the team insurance or whatever the fuck. I don't know how it's stacked up. Like, it can get really complicated, but I know that none of it will stop a Major League Baseball player from suing the insurance company.
Oh, yeah.
Which will make their premiums go fucking crazy.
Sky high, yeah.
So I don't know what the fuck. None of this is going to work.
No, none of it's going to work. And in Hollywood, you have to list, when you go in for all of these productions, what you expect to be sued for, what you could be sued for, right? Usually it's workers' comp and all that other shit, and, like, you know, getting hurt on the job and everything else. Then they start to go into, all right, well, what are you doing on this production? Mm. Are you skydiving? Are you getting in car chases? What's going to happen in this
but
movie?
But a lot of it
show?
Is like, are you shooting, like, you know this, are you shooting outdoors with lighting that'll attract lightning and shit? There's, like, so much. Didn't a guy get struck by lightning on one of your productions?
Yes, he got electrocuted.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck, man?
And luckily,
so much fucked up shit can happen.
I know. Luckily, he didn't sue.
And if you're a production company, especially like a mid-level to small level, not a major one, but a mid to small level production company, and you get sued once, you're done.
Yeah, most of them you are. And, you know, the insurance kicks in after that, but the problem is, when you start a production, part of your budget, let's say you get $10 million for a movie, right, to shoot a movie, and that's just a hypothetical number. Before you start production, they will say, all right, great, what is your budget? What are you guys shooting? What's the dangers of somebody getting hurt or sick or ill? With COVID on there, your fucking budget to insure a movie now, is that was probably 1.5 if you're a $10 million movie. Mm-hmm. Like, because if 8 to 10 of those people say, I've got COVID and
you
got to
shut the whole damn thing down.
Yeah, or if one of them fucking dies.
Yeah.
Forget it, dude. Like, and so a lot of these productions can't even afford that kind of insurance. So I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, there was a movie that I did where they would insure. I was flying in the back of one of those fighter jets.
F-15 or 16.
Yes, and they would not insure that scene. So they said, look, if you die or something happens to you and your crew on that, I am personally responsible for that. Mm. Nothing happened to me, but three movies later, that guy crashed that F-15 and both of them died. So good luck trying to get insurance on COVID, and that's why a lot of your favorite shit isn't going to come back for a while, including like SEAL Team and these other things. Mm. So we'll see what happens. Either way, dream come true today. Joey Chestnut was on the show. We're going to be watching on Saturday. Tune in with us at high noon Eastern Standard Time. And bet with us or against us on mybookie.com. Over under is 71.5. And then is the record? The record is on there. 74, right?
I think so. Let me check real quick.
And in the meantime, we launched drinkingbrostickets.com. Obviously, there is nothing to get tickets for right now. It doesn't affect us at all because we haven't started yet. But that site is live. So when everything does go live and you're finally able to buy tickets to all your favorite sporting events, you can go to drinkingbrostickets.com. And it's literally the exact same as StubHub, except you're saving about $10 cheaper a ticket on it.
But it'll also have a list, not only of the events that me, Ross, Jared, and then the girls and whomever else, Dakota or Derek or anybody are doing that's in our network, but it'll also have the sporting events or concerts that we're actually going to be at. So right. You can fucking plan around that and come hang out with us. And
we'll tell you where we're sitting. So we'll give you the sections and all that stuff, and you can buy tickets around us. we learned, you know, a while ago that it was just the back end search engine. They're all the same, StubHub, Ticketmaster, all this shit. So I was like, great, why couldn't we have one for our listeners and all the shit that
it's a lot easier for us to coordinate hanging out with you guys if we just tell you where you are and you show up.
Absolutely.
Than it is us, like, because usually what happens is we're either in DMs or texting with 30 different fucking people.
Yeah.
Now it's just going to be like, here's where we are, come hang out.
Hey, man,
you don't have to RSVP or something,
exactly.
Just buy your tickets and
just
show up.
Just come and we'll get drinks and fucking rage.
Yeah.
So go to that site is live now. You can test it out. Go to drinkingbrostickets.com today, and you'll have everything on there. Super Bowl, fucking Cowboys, Notre Dame, Ohio State, whatever team you could possibly think of. Masters.
They don't have the record on here
of hot dogs.
They've got hot dogs eaten 71.5.
Yeah.
Will Joey Chestnut win? Will Mickey Sudo? Mickey?
Mikisudo.
It's M-I-K-I on the site.
She's the female champion.
Yeah, she's won for like 5 years in a row. Mm-hmm. Will the men's contest go to overtime eat off? They have that one, but they don't have the total.
That will never go
and
to
the
overtime
women's, the women's winner, by the way, it's 37.5.
Oh, shit, really? I'd bet
that.
Let
me see what the record is for them right now.
I thought it was 50, but I could be wrong.
Let's see. I thought it was higher than that.
No, I thought it was 50 or maybe 48. I'm going to go with 48.5.
Let's see. Well,
what is it?
I don't know what the women's record is, but Sudo, the most she's ever eaten is 41.
Oh, okay.
So
37.5. Yeah.
Her last year, she...
what did she have last year?
31.
Yeesh.
Year before that, 37.
All right. Maybe take that under then.
38.5. She's done 38. She's beaten 37.5 quite a few times. So I don't know. Oof, I don't know. That's a tough one.
I'm going all Chestnut on this.
Under
one.
These
all
conditions,
my money's on Chestnut.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think 71.5. He's safe. I don't know if he'll do the record or not because he seems like he's psyching himself out a little
bit. He's doing the record.
I don't know.
He was on the show. He's going to win. He's going to top it.
Well, I hope so.
We'll see.
He's got my thoughts and prayers for
same.
Sure.
Oh, same, dude.
I'll be up praying to Allah all night.
All night long. All night long. D'Anthony, fun show. Dream come true. Joey Chestnut, best in the biz. Tune in to Drinking Bros Podcast live on YouTube at high noon on 4th of July and watch it with us. It's only an hour. Girls are up first for a half hour and the guys are up next for a half hour. And we'll see if Joey Chestnut is able to win his 13th yellow mustard belt. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone.